Good morning, and may it please the Court. The Veterans Court cannot resolve matters that are open to debate to find the Board's errors harmless. For Mr. Ratliff, the Veterans Court held that the Board was wrong when it relied on the May 2018 exam, but it found that that error didn't matter because the Court agreed with the Board's credibility analysis. Now, by finding that Mr. Ratliff had no credibility, the Board concluded that he lacked evidence of an in-service event and continuity of symptoms. But its single most probative piece of evidence was the May 2018 exam that the Veterans Court rejected. That alone should have prompted a remand for factual development. And without that remand, the Veterans Court's holding means it found that even the most favorable exam, had it existed, never would have supported Mr. Ratliff's in-service noise exposure or his continuous symptoms. And that's highly debatable, given Mr. Ratliff's MOS as a canon crewman. So now we're left with the rest of the evidence that the Board relied upon. Now, as the Veterans Court described it, every piece of evidence that the Board relied upon was some instance where Mr. Ratliff was silent about his tinnitus or where he didn't mention his other injuries in service and there was a lack of documentation about it. So all of that type of evidence, all of that silent evidence being treated as negative evidence required a foundation under Fountain. And when it came to tinnitus, we know that under Fountain, that foundation required medical evidence. For Mr. Ratliff, specifically, that foundation had to establish why these records should have reflected his tinnitus or his other injuries. And that is a medical question because it's an issue of the nature and severity of his tinnitus. The Veterans Court found, though, that the Board did lay a foundation, even though it didn't point to any of the Board's language to provide that. The Veterans Court actually wrote its own. And it assumed the Board's thoughts at the time as to what the Board believed or what the Court assumed that the Board believed about those records and about what they should have contained. But it's evident from the Veterans Court's foundation that it underestimated the requirements of Fountain. And that's because...
Counsel, one of the concerns I have with your argument about misapplication, that Veterans Court misapplied Fountain, is that we are not supposed to review application of law to fact. So why do we even have jurisdiction to hear this argument?
That, Your Honor, is first because of an overreaching from this error analysis. So the question of whether the Veterans Court should have even engaged in that level of fact-finding in order to find error harmless. And more than that, the Fountain question of whether, legally speaking, the Board and then the Court made a Colvin and Kahana violation when it supported its foundation with unsupported medical evidence, without any independent medical evidence about the nature and severity of Mr. Ratliff's tinnitus. Ultimately, the Veterans Court affirmed the Board's conclusion despite rejecting its most probative piece of evidence and writing a foundation for the Board, which the Board lacked. Now, that leaves a lot of questions open to debate. Would the Board have reached the same credibility finding with less evidence? Would the probative weight of whatever was left over after the Board's errors still be enough to find that Mr. Ratliff is not credible as a whole? And would the Board's foundation, had it been supported by medical evidence and had the Board provided one, would that have been identical to the Court's and would it have led to the same undebatable result? And that's a matter the Veterans Court was not supposed to resolve. We ask this court to hold that VA must establish a foundation before treating any silent evidence as negative evidence. And we ask this court to hold that the Veterans Court can't do that when the Board fails to, especially when in matters where medical evidence is at stake. And we ask this court to hold that the Veterans Court overreached in its harmless error analysis when it resolved debatable factual matters that were up to the Board.
Ms. Gentile, do you have anything else, or would you like to save the remainder of your time for rebuttal?
I would like to save it, Your Honor. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We'll hear from Ms. Kramer next.
May it please the Court. This Court should dismiss this case because the credibility and the prejudicial error analyses are unreviewable factual determinations. In the alternative, the Court should affirm the Veterans Court's findings. There was no interpretation, assessment of the validity of, or elaboration on a rule of law here. There is a simple application and citation of Fountain to the facts of the case. It's a simple application of facts of law, which is a factual determination that is not reviewable by this court. The same thing goes...
Can I move you on to the harmless error determination? What was the basis for that, and why was the Veterans Court entitled to make that type of, it seems like a factual determination in the first instance without remanding it to the board?
Well, as an initial matter, the Veterans Court is required to make a harmless error analysis by statute. And here, it was based on the credibility analysis already undertaken by the board. So there was no de novo fact-finding or anything of that sort. It was simply applying what the board had already decided and finding the remaining error harmless. And additionally, there are three factors that are required to show service connection: a current disability, in-service incurrence or aggravation of the disease or injury, and a link between the claimed in-service disease or injury and the present disability. Because Mr. Ratliff had been found to be not credible, he couldn't show the second element. So he couldn't show service connection regardless, and that was the harmless error analysis.
How do you respond to the argument, Mr. Ratliff's argument, that had the medical, a new medical examination could have established that element?
I don't think it could, Your Honor.
That was based
pretty much entirely on Mr. Ratliff's testimony, which was later discredited. And so I think it's still a new medical exam couldn't establish that he had 40 years ago started to have tinnitus, which is based on his testimony.
So your point is that the medical examination would be based on, you know, the personal knowledge of the person performing the medical examination would be based on his medical condition at this time, as opposed to providing credible evidence of an event having occurred while he was in service. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, Your Honor.
Ms. Kramer, do you have anything else for us?
No, Your Honor, except to ask that the court dismiss this case because it involves reviewing factual determinations or in the alternative to affirm the Veterans Court decision.
Thank you. Ms. Gentile, you have a substantial amount of time for rebuttal if you want to use it, some or all of it.
Thank you, Your Honor. First, I'd like to address the issue of fact-finding. We haven't asked this court to find any facts or apply any facts to the law, and we don't have any facts that are in debate.
Can I just ask you to address the harmless error determination? The Veterans Court seemed to rely on the board's finding that Mr. Ratliff's testimony about in-service occurrence wasn't credible, and that whatever other error was in play, that needed to be established, and therefore made all those other errors harmless. What's wrong with that? I mean, first of all, we can't review that, right? That application of the harmless error standard of the fact is beyond our review. But is that, what's wrong with the Veterans Court doing that as a matter of law?
As a matter of law, the Veterans Court is prohibited from engaging in that level of de novo fact-finding or resolving matters such as...
Okay, I get where you're going, but how is it de novo fact-finding when they're not themselves addressing Mr. Ratliff's credibility, but saying the board has made a credibility finding already? And so based upon the fact-finding by the board, we find harmless error.
Right.
They're entitled to do that, right? They're entitled to rely on fact findings of the board in making a harmless error determination.
Yes, Your Honor. The question of whether the Veterans Court was correct when it found that the board provided a foundation is a separate question from the board's holding that that foundation was adequate. Now, setting aside the fact that I couldn't find a foundation in the board's decision, and But looking at the Veterans Court's reason, the Veterans Court's description for its holding, that foundation was adequate, that's a matter of law. That's a question of whether the foundation that the Veterans Court described actually met the requirements of Fountain or wasn't, for other reasons, unlawful. And under Fountain, Colvin, and Kahana, it was, because it contained no medical evidence to support what the court found to be the board's reasonable expectations of what should or should not have appeared in the records that were silent. That was a de novo fact-finding by the court, and it was also the other thing that the court did that was beyond the reach of its harmless error review was to reweigh a completely different looking body of evidence in order to reach the same conclusion that the board did about Mr. Ratliff's credibility. And then there are debatable matters here. We have the Veterans Court found that Mr. Ratliff had not satisfied the second element of service connection, that would be in service and current. But his MOS alone did. The board acknowledged that Mr. Ratliff was a canon crewman, and we know that under the M21, people with Mr. Ratliff's MOS are supposed to have conceded, or VA is supposed to concede, hazardous in-service noise exposure for people with that MOS. So it's not the case that that's undebatable. In addition, an exam could establish that. Even if we look at the conclusion of the exam, it happened to be insufficient for other reasons. That examiner did provide a statement as to in-service exposure, and that speaks directly to the second element. So there are several reasons why the Veterans Court overreached in its harmless error analysis as far as de novo fact-finding, legal adequacy of that foundation, and resolving debatable matters that the board should have resolved. If the court has no further questions, we're happy to wait the remainder of our time, Your Honor.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Gentile. Thank you, Ms. Kramer. Case 21-1618 is submitted.